I have really sought the Lord on a message that I believe will help each and every one of us. You know, as pastors and as speakers and orators of God's Word, we find ourselves sometimes deeply concerned that everyone is being ministered to. And every week I believe that that has happened for each and every one of you. But this week I said, God, I just want to do something that's going to trigger something in their life that when they leave this sanctuary, and I know this is a bold statement I'm saying, that they will say, I have been in the presence of the Word of God. I said, Father, I don't want to be seen. I just want you to be heard. So I asked the Holy Spirit, and I'm just telling you, this is the truth. I said, Holy Spirit, pour into my spirit what you would have me to say to the Hope for the Bay Church. I don't call out people's names because I don't know who can be here and who cannot be here. Schedules and things can come up. Traffic jams on the freeway. Things can come up. And the Lord just spoke to me and he said, I want you to speak to them on their journey. And I, of course, said, what? He said, I want you to tell them, and please believe me, please trust me, this is real. I want you to tell them that I want them to start looking at their life and the Word as a journey. And I said, God, I want to do this. This sounds exciting. And it started to pop in my spirit. And I said, what should I speak from? What scripture? And the Holy Spirit said, go to Psalm 23. He said, that psalm describes a journey. Their journey. McLaren said this, one of the great writers of the Old Testament, and in his or of commentary. He said, you could take a lot of books and explode them off the earth, and the earth would be no less or no better. But don't ever touch Psalm 23, because it strengthens the heart of every Christian. And I want to read it to you completely, and we're going to be in this for a few weeks, so this isn't going to just be a sermon or a message today, but we're going to go into a series of this particular psalm called The Journey. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version today, otherwise known as the ESV. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Point being that we are, by the sound of my voice, those that will hear this digitally, everyone that is on this earth is on a journey. Whether you're a Christian or not, you're on a journey. Life is a journey. For us, this journey has awesome moments of God's mercy and grace for us. I'd like for you, just for a moment, if you would, to think about your own journey thus far with the Lord and the many times that He helped you, established your goings, protected you, shown mercy in your life and showed grace in your life in a great way, where you knew the Lord was walking in this journey with you. The journey that we're going to talk about actually outlines this: I shall not want. This is the theme of Psalm 23. I shall not want for rest and refreshment. Verse 2, restoration and righteousness. Verse 3, protection in trouble. Verse 4, provision in the wilderness. Verse 5, and a home to go to at the end of the day. Verse 6. Praise God for a journey that we're on. Praise God that we have an opportunity to be on a journey, not by ourselves, not with the rest of the church only, but with Jesus. A journey that helps us. We find three areas in my introduction today on the journey that are constant: the Lord as leader, the Lord as provider, and our response of faith. The Lord as leader, the Lord as provider, our response of faith. We find four blessings in the first part of our journey. We find first blessing is that David's experience was a spiritual nourishment, 23:2. A second blessing that comes from the Lord's leading is a spiritual restoration, 23:2-3. The third blessing that comes from the Lord's leading is guidance in the right way, 23:3. The fourth blessing in this opening part of our series, blessing that we receive from the Lord's, is His leading is protection. His leading protects us. We are protected by the Lord. I don't think a lot of people realize that there are things that you don't even notice that happen in your life that the Lord is protecting you, strengthening you, and guiding you. I could be as facetious maybe, but that wouldn't be the right word. Maybe I should just be very truthful and say that I believe that there are times when you go to do something and all of a sudden something holds you back from leaving that second, and you go take care of something, and then you may get in the car or on the bus and say, why did I even have to take care of that? I should have taken care of that tonight. But He protected you from something. He held you back from something that could have happened in your life. Each of the Old Testament names for God is seen in this psalm. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, Genesis 22:13-14. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord will heal or restore, Exodus 15:26. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, Judges 6:24. Jehovah Titzkenu, the Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah 23:6. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, Ezekiel 48:35. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, Exodus 17:8-15. And Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd, Psalm 23:1. Every one of the names of God is found here. That's why it's a psalm of journey. That's why it's not a psalm that we just go to in a service where somebody has passed. I've done so many of those, and always the card is there with Psalm 23. But then the light went off. The reason it's there is because their journey is ended, and we are reminded of their journey and who is with them on that journey. Praise God. David is not praying in this psalm. He's not asking God to do something for him. Rather, he is rejoicing in what the Lord has done and continues to do in his life. Yes, amen. You know, we as children of the living God, we need to start rejoicing for what God has done in our life. And the faith that we have that what He'll continue to do in our life. He'll continue to bless us. We should always, now listen to this, I'm just giving you a small introduction before I preach. We should always keep record of our journey. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Don't forget your journey you're on. The Bible talks about forgetting not your landmarks, forgetting not where you came from, and keeping a view on where you're going. I like what Moses asked in Exodus. He asked them when he came to the land to travel through. He asked the king, "Can we travel through your land?" And the king said, "No." He said, "We just want to take..." Now listen. Are you listening? "We just want to take the king's highway through your land. We won't touch your flocks. We won't take from your fruit. We won't take from your land. We won't take of your women. We will not do anything. We just want to take the king's highway." In other words, we want to walk the path of God through your land. Oh, I wish that we would all take the king's highway daily as we walk through this land that we are journeying through. You see, the Lord leads the journey by His great power. He leads us by power. Not by circumstance, not by happenstance, not by some mishap or mistake. He leads us by His power. And let me say this, there is no greater power than the Lord's power. There is no greater healing power than His power. There's no more greater saving power than His power. There's no more sanctifying power than His power. His power is the one power we should want to be ahead of us. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. Deuteronomy 4:37, "And because He loved your fathers and chose their offspring after them and brought you out of Egypt with His own presence by His great power." You see, we can talk about the journey that Moses took. We can talk about him being born in a very crucial time where every child was to be taken of male and killed, because they were growing. The Israelites were growing, and Pharaoh was afraid that they would take over Egypt. But they hid Moses. That journey from his womb took him to a basket floating in the Nile, protecting him. And that journey took him to where Pharaoh's daughter found that baby and took him. Now listen how God does. God's power. Took him, and they happened to find the mother of Moses, who actually nursed her own child. Someone say amen here. Amen. There's a journey that God has you on, that He makes sure that every way that you are walking, He is with you, and He will bring the natural things and the supernatural things into your life so everything is pure and holy. Amen. His mother's milk, His own mother's milk, nourished that child. He was raised in Pharaoh's court. And his journey took him to be second, very powerful, amongst all the Egyptians, respected in Pharaoh's court. This was Moses. But yet, his journey led him one day out to the pits, the miry clay, the making of the bricks, and his journey allowed him to, his eyes to be opened, and he saw his own people thrashed, beat. And Moses couldn't take it any longer, and his journey led him to take this Egyptian soldier, this taskmaster, and he killed him. He thought he buried him, but his own people, who he was protecting, turned on him. But God, who is rich in mercy, took him down a journey now for 40 more years. He was 40 years old when this happened. Now he went 40 years into a place of comfort. Had a wife, children, father-in-law, family, herds, respect, prosperity. He was happy. And then his journey took him up the side of an area, maybe it was by the still waters. Took him up there and he met a bush that was burning but did not burn up. And from that bush, a voice spoke and his journey changed from being a shepherd to now a deliverer. Friend, your journey can change on you when God speaks to you. He'll allow you to complain. Moses actually had 11 complaints. If you study it out, he had 11 complaints. He was very insecure, stuttered, didn't think a whole lot about himself, didn't really like to get out of comfort. He was feeling pretty good about his life. He didn't want to change. Didn't even really want his brother to be part. He just wanted to make sure that if he did go, that God would be there. And you even see that insecurity in Exodus and 30 through 33, how he literally is walking with the Lord and God tells him to go someplace. He said, I'm not going lest you go with me. He said, I'll send an angel of God with you to go. And he said, no, I don't want an angel. I want you. Friend, let me tell you something. Even though you're saved and sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, and maybe you feel pretty good about your relationship with God, He didn't come into your life and change you. What did you just say, preacher? He didn't come in my life and change me? No! You still got the same insecurities. His grace is sufficient. Amen. You still got that character. His grace is sufficient. Amen. You still got habits that are buried, but they're there and they creep up on you every once in a while. Now somebody be honest this morning. Amen. That old man may be cut down, but his roots are still there. Yes. But his grace is sufficient. Amen. He may come into your life and totally take you and bring you from one place and turn you another. I remember being saved, Stuart, Florida. I remember the radical salvation I had. I remember getting back to Santa Cruz, California, and I remember going to a church in Watsonville, California, to a church of God, and there was a preacher preaching, and I was comfortable. I was feeling pretty good about my relationship with God. I'd been baptized with the Holy Ghost recently. Speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And I was reading my Ryrie Study Bible from page to page, from book to book, from beginning to end. I had written on that thing so much there was no more pages to write on. I was feeling pretty good about my relationship with God. Something was stirring in me, but I didn't know what. I was very comfortable, very thankful for a wonderful wife and four beautiful children. Great mother-in-law, great father-in-law who is my pastor. I was feeling pretty good. But I remember sitting on that row that evening. That preacher was preaching. He stopped in the middle of his sermon, looked at me. I was sitting right there where Susanna was sitting in that exact seat in Watsonville, California, in a Grange hall. Where the morning, Sunday morning services, you had to smell the alcohol from the party of the night before because it was rented to people having parties. By evening, it was gone. We opened up the windows. The heaters were blasting so loud, sometimes you could hardly hear the preacher preach. The floors were made of gray, of gray painted floors made of wood. So if a person walked in with spiked heels on all the way to the back, you could hear them all the way to the front. Spinet piano over in the corner, banging down. Bass player and a guitar player. Kind of an old-fashioned Pentecostal church. Maybe some of you have never been there, but oh, what a great experience it is. He stopped in the middle of his sermon and looked over at me and pointed his finger at me. And he said, "Son, from this night forward, your life is going to be totally different." Amen. I was called to preach that instant. Went to the altar that night just to kind of pray and thank God. And up comes another preacher gifted in the Holy Ghost. Began to pray and the Holy Spirit gave him a word and confirmed my preaching, my calling to be a pastor, an evangelist, a man of God. You see, God can show up and take your journey and take you to a new part of the journey. Don't fight God. Go with God's leading.
Amen.
He went back and pronounced 10 plagues. Along with 10 plagues, he pronounced, "Let my people go, saith the Lord God. Let them come out of this place to worship me." And Pharaoh said no until the 10th time. When he finally lost something so precious and personal to himself, he would say no because God would harden his heart. And he finally led them out. And who led them out? The angel of God. God's power led them out on a journey that they were headed for the promised land. But oh my friends, some of those people didn't make it to the promised land. Moses' journey ended up not seeing the footprint of his own feet touching that promised land, but viewing it from a mountaintop because he had angered the Lord. But those that were promised that, that did not fall dead in the desert in their 38 years. It was 2 years that they were in the desert. And then 38 years because they disobeyed God. They died out in the desert. And those that were there that were young had literally grown up now. And now they were going to go into the desert. Through a time and movement to the River Jordan. And then they were going to walk across to the promised land. That journey was covered by God. Friend, you and I have a journey. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Don't be, or you could be, like the child when misquoting the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd. What more shall I want?" He provides everything for us. He provides for us. He brings into our life a beautiful thing. Listen to what Jesus said about himself in John 10:11, John 10:14, and John 10:27-28. He said in John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." John 10:14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me." John 10:27-28, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Friend, we are covered by the Lord.
Amen.
He's our God. We are his children. We are saved by grace through faith. Oh, that word grace. Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I was lost, but now I am found.
Hallelujah.
I was on a journey in life as a sinner, lost, leading blindly through this earth. And he found me, opened up my eyes to his kingdom and his love. His grace, unmerited favor, brought me into his kingdom. And I received this by faith. He leads you and I. Are you with me this morning? He leads you and I. We are on a journey. You just don't wake up one morning and everything is there and you just kind of walk outside, go to work and come back, or wake up, go into the kitchen, make breakfast, go into the living room, click the clicker for the TV, and all of a sudden it comes on and you find yourself 15 hours later looking at something on TV. You don't even realize what you're staring at because you and the TV have become one. You are on a journey. Every one of us, a journey that God's path has set for you. A path that He has designed, your destiny that He has designed just for you. You're not on my journey, and I am not on your journey. But together we are on a journey as the church moves forward. But each and every one of us have a destiny, a place that God wants to bring us to. God's providential care in providing refreshment, guidance, protection, abundance, and so affording grounds of confidence in His perpetual favor. God shows you favor. God gives you favor. He's promised you favor. Jeremiah 29:11. A life full of hope, goodness. A life that is full of joy and happiness. You know, I think on our journey we should not act like Moses complaining. I think we should act like those that have met Jesus, and we are confident that greater is He that is us than he that is in the world. Yeah. That we, wherever we walk, we possess. We should walk like Joshua, having our face in the Word and not being nervous or scared or dismayed, but be encouraged and have courage because God is sending us. We should walk with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. I know there's no more phone booths, but every one of us should get up every morning, and as we're driving to church or going to work, we see the devil over there with his iPhone dialing 911. Or we see him with his Galaxy dialing 911. Or he's got his iPad out there sending a message 911. The enemy's trying to let everybody know that there's a saint of God who knows that they're on a journey, that they have a destiny. And it's a destiny of power, a destiny of grace, a destiny of mercy. And God will not forsake you or I.
Amen.
Psalm 23:2-4, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Some folks like to think that's all about food. Oh, praise God, I get the pastures, I get the light, it's going to be about food, amen? No. It is not completely, it is not, but it gives us a place of coolness and a place of refreshing and a place of rest. That's what He wants to give us. You know, sometimes you're walking around. How many going around? I'm so tired. It's because you're not walking your journey right. You need to take time with God.
Yes.
Just take time with the Lord. He'll refresh you. Amen. You can't do and expect Jesus to come along and give you rest. You've got to take time to pray. Time to read His Word, because this is what it means. The people spend time meditating on the food. They're meditating on the Word of God, which is our food. The Bible says, taste of the Lord and see that He is good. Joshua was told, read the Word. Psalm 1 opens up throughout it. Read the Word. Get the Word in your life. The Word will revive your heart. Psalm 119. Read the Word. Don't study it as some textbook. Read the Word as life-giving breath to your soul. Read the Word. The Bible says it literally that He revives me. He relieves me. In other words, He restoreth my soul for His name's sake. He revives me. He relieves me of burdens. I don't think revival will ever hit people's lives till they get on their journey, till they get out of their rest area. This is as far as I'm going. This is great. They pull off and back onto that journey again. Revival will come to your heart. Revival will come to your soul. He'll relieve you of the mighty burdens that you carry.
Yes, yes, thank you.
Sometimes I go to the Lord. Well, every day I go to the Lord in prayer. But sometimes I just go to Him. I talk to Him just like I do people. In reverence, of course.
Yes.
But I say, God, this one's too tough for me to carry. This one's too heavy for me. This one's too big of a burden for me to carry. I'm just going to, when I get up, I'm leaving it with you.
Amen.
It's yours. You said, come unto you, all you that are heavy laden and are burdened. All ye that are weary. All ye that are carrying too much. Every one of you that are there, lay it down at my feet and I shall give you rest.
Amen.
In other words, on your journey, everybody say journey.
Journey.
On your journey, you're going to come to a place where you just need to meet with Jesus.
Yes.
I find that every day. I find that place every day to meet with Jesus. Just to talk with Jesus. Amen. I got this list on my phone. It's got your names on it. And I just cry out to God for you. I said, God, just I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over you. I pray for your loved ones. I pray for your home. I pray for your journey. I say, God, bless them. Guide them. Empower them. I call out each name individually. I could do like they do on TV. I could lay hands on all the letters and say, bless everyone. Praise God. Now send me my money. But I call out every individual name.
Yes.
And I don't ask anybody for money.
Yes.
I ask God to rain upon your life the blessings of His Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I met a girl, waitress, Kathy and I, back in Maryland when we were there. She had a cross on. So we were outside and I saw her sitting there and she had one of those long round things in her between her fingers that make smoke like a train. So she was enjoying that. I don't know what kind it was or what style it was, but she was there and I walked up to her, didn't really care what that about it. I just said to her, I said, do you know the Lord? She goes, I went to church when I was younger. I said, well, the reason I ask, and I'm not, you know, she was our waitress for like three times, and I'm real social. So the first time she knew exactly who I was and my wife was. My wife's always nudged me, you know, you're too social. But, you know, like I literally said, well, let me tell you something. I'm a pastor, and that's why I'm so social. I said, the cross reminds me that you know of Jesus. But this is what I'm going to do from now on. Give me your name, write it down. And every day I'm going to call out your name to Jesus that you would be caught with, you would call upon Him to be, He would be your Savior.
Yes.
And you would be His child, His saved. She doesn't know I'm praying for her. She lives all the way in Maryland. Last thing she said to me was her and her boyfriend were going to go out on a Harley and take a ride throughout the country. And I said, well, I'm praying for you. And every day I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over her because I want her journey to go away from walking away from God, but walking towards God.
Yeah, amen.
You can be a catalyst just like that man was who was in that pulpit that night. You don't have to have a pastoral evangelical or evangelist pulpit ministry. But you can be just like that person praying to God that that journey will change and they'll come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior. I know it's better to complain about the people at work and talk about them and how bad they are and
bless God and how good you are, and yet you're missing the whole point. What you should be doing is praying for them that they could be as blessed as you are. Not keeping them in some little place, but pray for them to be saved. Invite them on the journey. Invite them on your journey that you are on. You see, our problem when we say that he's leading us down the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, our problem is not really one of guidance. It's one of closeness to God. Sometimes we want to be, I don't know, maybe 100 feet away from God. I want to be right next to him. I want to be Mary. I want to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. I want to listen. You know, I went to, I got saved, of course, you know that. I've told you about 100 times, and I know some of you still wonder if I am by the way you look at me. But I am a radical Christian, so I understand those looks do come, because I just will do anything God tells me to do. If he tells me to run the chairs, I'll do it. Praise God. I'll take a run. I'll shout hallelujah to the Lamb. I'll stop people on the street if he says it. But I went to a revival meeting in Watsonville, California, at the large Assemblies of God down there. And I sat way in the back. About where Lupe's sitting right there, that far back. Not insinuating that you're sitting way in the back, but that's way in the back for, you know, okay. So anyhow. And the preacher preached, a good evangelist and Assemblies of God preacher. There was about 250, 300 people. Their church sets about 700. It was, you know, about half full, a little bit less, maybe a third full. He called the altar call. I was saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I was speaking in tongues. I was called to preach. I had all the goods. I had all the list down. I was on my journey. He called the altar call, and I came right up there and stood right up there. This guy was gifted. He's going down the road praying for anybody, and he comes about to go by, and he's about to go pray over here. He looked at me and said, "What are you doing down here?" This is what I said. I said, "I want to be as close as I can to where God's doing something. I want to be right there. If I can be there at the altar and sense his power, I'm going to be there. I want God on my journey. I want to walk with God. I want to talk with God. I want to be able to know that I'm sitting at the feet of God. I want closeness with God. I don't want distance. I want closeness with God." How about you, church? How about you? How about crying out to the Lord even now, saying, "God, draw me close." Hallelujah. The Lord always leads us in conformity of what he has revealed in his word. The fact that the Lord leads his people for his namesake means that he guides them according to all that his name represents. His guidance is then in keeping with holiness, his love, his faithfulness, his wisdom, and all that he has ever revealed to himself to be. What he's revealed in your life about himself that he is. It's what he's doing. "And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I want you to realize that we're going to close on this here, that one scripture. And we're going to pick it up next week. But just let me give you this one area. If one finds himself or herself in a valley of deep darkness or a shadow of death, he or she need not fear. The Lord is with him or her and will protect him or her. The rod and the staff are the shepherd's equipment to protect the sheep in such situations. David was comforted by the Lord's presence and protection. Believers are never in situations the Lord is not aware of. For he never leaves or forsakes his people. Hebrews 13:5. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We're on a journey as we continue on this particular message next week. I'm going to pick up right here where we left off in the valley. Because literally that's where a lot of people live with their walk with God. I'm in a valley. But there's going to be provision and a response of faith we're going to talk about also in this series. The thing about people being in the valley, what I've noticed is when they're in a valley, when they want you to know they're in a valley. But boy, on some places like Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Instagram, the snapshot of themselves look like they're right there with Jesus in the throne room. They want to live in this darkness. They got this balance. I'm going to live in the darkness. But when everybody sees me out in public, I'm going to be looking like I'm sitting right there at Jesus' feet. He's only talking to me, no one else. You see, you know, people are good at hiding their valley. And we'll talk about why next week.